Well, it's good to be here this evening. I remind us that God always gives us what we need. We've been getting a lot of rain today over the last several days. We thank Him for that. Thank Him for all that He does for us. We've come together this evening to worship Him again and to be fed from His Word to strengthen us as we seek to accomplish His will. We're here for a short period of time, but our goal is to live out His will in our lives, to change the world, to save souls, to build up the body of Christ, and we want to continue to do that this evening. I appreciate the songs that Gil led for us this evening, as they'll kind of tie along with my lesson this evening. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, the Apostle Paul declared that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I'm not sure if I know what it means to be more than a conqueror, but I'd be glad to just be a conqueror. But the language is very specific, that God reminds us that if we'll put our faith in Him, that He's going to enable us to overcome the trials, the disappointments, the fears and failures, the burdens that we all experience. So Paul says, in the context of incredible suffering and difficulty and persecution and hardship in Romans chapter 8, that we are more than conquerors through the One who loves us with an eternal love. And I want to suggest to us this evening that this theme that Christians are conquerors is found throughout the Bible. We see it expressed clearly in Romans chapter 8. We also see it clearly and emphatically expressed in the book of Revelation. In fact, the admonition to overcome or to conquer or to be victorious over false teaching, fear, intimidation, the world, and everything else is found in every letter that Jesus sent to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Every single church had the same message. You can overcome. You must overcome. And yet the reality is overcoming is a choice. I think one of our greatest temptations, perhaps mine as well, is the temptation for doubt and fear and sometimes worry. We're just not sure if we're going to make it to heaven. We're not sure if we'll overcome sin. We're not sure if we'll be faithful until death or to the point of death. We want to be victorious, but we're often afraid that we're going to fail or somehow come short of our heavenly goal. But I suggest you we'll be looking on the screen this evening at the messages to the seven churches of Asia, at least some brief sections of that. But the messages to these churches is plain, it's powerful, it's emphatic. We are all challenged to overcome and conquer all sin, all fear, all disappointment, all heartache, everything that the devil lays before us to try to trip us up. God says, overcome it. Of course, you and I think, well, how? But how can I do that? Well, we do it on the basis of faith. We reach out to one another as we look for strength and encouragement. But the lesson this evening that I have prepared for us is titled this, More Than Conquerors. And that describes the mindset that God wants each of us to have. One of the phrases that I took away from a recent sales training seminar down in Nashville is, it's mindset over skill set. You might have all the skills in the world to design things, to fabricate things, to do all that type of thing, or even to sell products. But it's mindset over skill set, which means that if we get the mindset that I can conquer anything, then we can do just that. And so, again, that's a challenge for us to realize that God created us in such a way that we can conquer the world. It may not be easy, and we all stumble from time to time. I certainly do. We all do. Our theme this year, of course, is we're kingdom citizens. Jeremy presented an excellent lesson this morning on the subject of prayer. That's a characteristic, an important characteristic of kingdom citizens. I preached a couple weeks ago about having a strong work ethic. That's a characteristic of kingdom citizens. Conrad has done several lessons on that, on the theme of kingdom citizens. And I want to suggest this evening, because again we focus on that idea, is that another fundamental characteristic of kingdom citizens is that we are overcomers, that we are conquerors. We overcome our failures. We overcome our doubts. We overcome our worry. We don't maybe do it easily, but we do it with persistence and with God's help. We do it on the basis of faith. And so this evening, we're going to be looking at these passages in the book of Revelation. And let me just do that one more time. Maybe not. I'll use my pointer over here. We're going to be looking at the messages to the seven churches of Asia and just kind of doing some quick highlights on that basis. But look at the message. Every single message to the churches of Asia Minor was the same thing. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. Jesus is giving a message to these churches to persevere. He said in verse 7, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." So you notice that the challenge in verse 7, Jesus says, to the one who conquers. And the question is, who has the ability to conquer? Everybody. Everybody does. Not just certain people. When he says, to him who conquers, that's you or me. Conquering is not always easy, and sometimes I fail. Sometimes you fail. We all fail. But when Jesus says, to him who conquers, that means everybody and anybody can conquer if we choose to. And we push forward and we press forward. Don't forget this church, I'm just going to hit the highlights, is one who had forgotten its first love. That's a major failure on their part. They had forgotten, they were doing a lot of good things and persevering in some ways. But they had left their first love. And so they're told to repent. And they're told to overcome that. And again, and what you'll see in these brief snippets of these messages to the church is powerful rewards perhaps being given by God as a means of motivation to persevere, to conquer. So what's the motivation to conquer in this context, to conquer fear, to conquer persecution or sin or worldliness? What's the motivation? To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now you've got to think about that for just a moment. Can you imagine eating from the eternal tree of life in God's own paradise? God wants us to imagine that. There's no satisfaction in this life that compares with that. Nothing. None. And so, and that's what Jesus is telling, that's what the angel is conveying Jesus' message to the church at Ephesus, to the one who conquers and returns to his first love or her first love, she's going to enjoy feasting from the tree of life in the paradise of God. The message to the church at Smyrna, again, we're going to look at these kind of quickly. So again, in verse 10, the message is, do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. And then the challenge, be faithful unto death and I'll give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes, he who conquers will not be hurt by the second death, will not be face judgment in hell. So you look at this passage over here. And the message to the church at Smyrna, they're told not to fear, not to be afraid of what they're about to suffer. Suffering was real. It was real for these people. So the question is, why? Why not be afraid to suffer for the cause of Christ and contemplate what that means? Well, of course, in the context, it tells us that suffering for Christ means that it's going to result in eternal glory, heavenly honor, and endless comfort. So God prepares us and fuels us with the motivation to endure suffering because one day we'll suffer no more. And if we overcome intimidation and persecution and fear and everything else that the devil uses as a means of discouraging us, if we'll overcome that, one day that we will be in God's presence and we're going to be rewarded with his praise and his honor. And in fact, we look at this context in verse 10. What is just one of the rewards of persevering and being faithful to the point of death? He says there that you will receive the crown of life. We need to think about that and visualize that. God wants to give each one of us the crown of life. Now, I want to tell you, I've received a few crowns in my life for different things. You have too. Maybe it was athletic or maybe some academic honor that you received. But there's nothing that I've ever received that compares with this. The crown of life forever. No more suffering, no more death, no more intimidation, no more fear, no more failure ever. It's the crown of life. No more death, no more burdens. And so it's a reminder then that we need to persevere in the midst of the trials that we face. And I want to suggest that in spite of the intense suffering, he's talking here in verse 10 about what they're about to suffer. Suffering was real for these Christians. Some of them were losing their lives. Some put into prison. Some killed. But in spite of the intense suffering that they were going to endure, they were encouraged to overcome. And it's a reminder to me, and we need to think about the truths of Scripture more often than we do. We need to simply remember that all suffering can be overcome. All pain can be overcome. All persecution can be overcome. All fear can be overcome. Sometimes I don't think that, but all fear can be overcome. All trials can be overcome. Kingdom citizens are conquerors because we choose to press forward and not give up and say, I just can't do it. I can't deal with this burden. I can't deal with this failure. I can't deal with this temptation. I can't deal with this intimidation. I can't deal with being mocked by my coworkers. Yes, you can. Because one day in heaven, you won't be mocked any longer. You'll be praised by Almighty God, singing praises with saints throughout all ages. And again, it's a reminder to us that we do overcome. Look at the message to the church at Pergamum. In verse 16, the message to the church is, repent of your sin or I will come to you suddenly and fight against him with the sword of my mouth. Anyone who with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. And then he says in the middle of verse 17, to everyone who is victorious. Again, my question, let me get to the right page over here, to everyone who is victorious. And again, the question is, who can be victorious? Well, everyone can be victorious. We can all be victorious. So again, in the midst of their challenges, their difficulties, their trials that they were facing, the message is the same. Listen to God's word. Listen to God's Spirit-inspired message that he gives to them and he gives to each one of us. Everyone who is overcome, who is victorious, is rewarded in different ways. And so the question again, looking at this text, what is the reward for overcoming and being victorious? He said, I will give him some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I will give to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. So what God gives to anyone who is victorious, based on this passage, is a deep heavenly satisfaction that is not available to earth dwellers. It's a satisfaction. It's a praise that comes from God that cannot be experienced any place else in this life. And what you'll see coming up repeatedly in these messages to these churches of Asia Minor is that we finally get our true identity. And it says, I'm going to give him a white stone representing purity, and on the stones and it will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. And what Jesus is telling the church is that if you are victorious and you overcome false teaching, and we're surrounded by that in our world today, if you overcome disappointment, if you overcome persecution, if you overcome your failures, what God is saying, this is my son. This is my daughter. She served me faithfully in the midst of all of the persecution that he or she endured. So we get our real identity. It's not from the fact that my name is Mike, or your name is Bob or Norm or whoever else. Our identity comes from Almighty God. And if your identity comes from God, then you belong to him. You have the greatest sense of belonging possible. So again, these Christians, this church is encouraged to overcome. The church at Thyatira, notice in Revelation chapter 2, in this text that we're jumping into here. And the message is, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold her teaching and have not learned Satan's deep, so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. Verse 26, what does he say? To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end. Could these Christians at Thyatira, this church, could they be victorious? Yes. Over the persecution, over the intimidation that they might have been experiencing. And so they were all encouraged to persevere. And again, it's a reminder. Sometimes we read Scripture and we think it's a different day, a different time. But brethren, they were facing real temptation, real hardship, real persecution. Again, some of them thrown into prison, into jail for being Christian. Some of them killed. Their lives were on the line. It was real temptation, real difficulty. But what is the truth about overcoming this, even at this level of persecution or difficulty? We understand that it's possible to be victorious over persecution. It's possible to be victorious over false teaching. They were surrounded by it with the church at Thyatira. And it's possible, this text tells in verse 26, to the one who is victorious, this is the NIV, and does my will to the end. It's possible to be faithful to the end of our lives, brethren. In fact, God expects us to be faithful to the end of our lives. Why would we quit? What's awaiting us is eternal glory, a loving embrace from our Father in heaven. And so God expects us to overcome that. But again, in the context, why does God give all the rewards in there? God wants us to persevere because God is a God who loves to share His honor, His glory, His praise with us. It's remarkable. We have a hard time doing that, especially with sinful people around us. But it shows you something about God's character. Yes, He's a God of judgment. He will punish sinners. But God looks to reward His faithful servants. So in verse 26, He says, to the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And that one will rule them with an iron scepter. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about Christians. That one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. And I will also give that one the morning star. And so the reward over here that we have in to the church at Thyatira is that we're going to rule with the authority of Christ. Isn't that remarkable? We're going to rule with the authority of Christ, ruling over the nations. And then if that's not enough, God says, I'm going to give that person who is victorious the morning star. Wow. You're going to get your own star. Going to get my own star in heaven. Again, it's brightness, it's purity. God wants to reward His servants for overcoming the challenges that they face, that each of us face. Look at a few other of these messages. The message of the church at Sardis. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, it says, yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one, again, who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So, and again, haven't been looking in detail at these churches. We don't have time for that. But the church at Sardis had lots of problems. In fact, in verse 1 of this text, they had a name that they thought they were alive, but they were dead. So their reputation was they were dead. Think about this. Their reputation was that they were dead. Or nearly dead. That was their reputation. In verse 2, the New Living Translation puts it this way. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. And maybe we don't talk about boxing much these days, but I remember watching that growing up as a kid. The guy gets knocked to the mat. And he gets the standing eight count or something? One, two, three. He's staggering. He's trying to... four. Five, he's trying to get to his feet. Six, seven, the bell almost rings. So he's saying these Christians were down for the count. They were almost dead. Understand that. What are they told to do? Overcome. be victorious even though they're almost dead. That's powerful. It's a powerful message. And in fact, verse 4 mentions that with this group at Smyrna, that some Christians hadn't soiled their garments. You don't have to sin. We don't have to go along with the crowd. We don't have to blend in with the world. We choose to do that. But we don't have to give in to sin. And there were Christians in the church at Smyrna that was going down for the count. And yet they were faithful to God. And again, what was the message? He who conquers, he who overcomes. This is a compelling message. Even in the worst spiritual condition that these people could be in, they were all challenged to conquer and to overcome. And it's a reminder that we can all overcome the trials, the temptations, the shortcomings that we may deal with. The Church of Philadelphia, a couple other messages to these seven churches. So the Church of Philadelphia, jumping into verse 11, Jesus said, I'm coming quickly, hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. The reality is that nobody can take your crown, fellow Christian. No one can take it from you. You can abandon it, say, I give up, I don't want it anymore, I'm going to go into the world, it's too hard, I can't do this. But no one can take your crown. It's you hold on to that, make that decision. And then in verse 12, he says, he who overcomes. And so, again, it's the same message. And it's interesting, with the church at Philadelphia, if you go through read the whole context, that nothing negative is said about these Christians. The only church that didn't have anything negative said about them, it does mention that they were dealing with the synagogue of Satan. So they're facing some real intimidation. People who are not nice, trying to bring them down. But the text says that they persevered in the midst of the trial. And again, it's the same message. He who overcomes, he who conquers. And so the question again we raise is, what's the reward for conquering sin? What's the reward for standing up to the devil and all his lies? He says there, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven, comes down out of heaven from my God in my new name. So the message to these Christians, the church at Philadelphia, is if they persevere and conquer the sin, the false teaching that was swirling around them, the persecution, all of that, is that they receive absolute permanence, security, and assurance in heaven. They get their real identity. They are basically, if you look at this passage over here, they're eternally tattooed with God's stamp of approval and belonging. And this message comes up over and over again to these churches of Asia Minor. God's saying, she belongs to me. This is my child. He overcame the difficulties of this life. It's as compelling a message as we can get. And so God's motivating us not to quit. And yet, since I became a Christian nearly 40 years ago, I know lots of people have gone back into the world. They've gone living different lifestyles and getting back into drinking and all types of things. Because they thought it was too hard to persevere. No, that's not too hard. We've got to keep our eye on the goal and on the reward that God has for each one of us. Look at the other message to the church of Laodicea. So there are seven churches that receive messages to persevere. Of course, Laodicea is not in good shape either. In verse 19, we're just jumping in to the context, to the text here. Jesus says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. The one who conquers. There's that word again every time. Seven. Seven churches, seven messages. Every single time it's the same message. No matter what the difficulty, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the persecution, no matter what, he who conquers. You understand, brethren, that we can all conquer our difficulties? Do we understand that? Do you believe that? You can say things like amen or nod your head or how's your mother? Or... Oh, she's doing fine. Thank you for asking. But we can overcome. That's just the point, right? And that's what he's saying to these Christians over here. The church at Laodicea, remember, was like the church at Sardis. It was in terrible condition. These Christians were lukewarm. They were indifferent. Jesus was ready to spit these people. Look, get this context. Don't miss this. Jesus was ready to spit these people out of his mouth. Now think about that. And think about what's going to come after this. So Jesus is on the verge of spitting these people out of his mouth because of their indifference. This is serious stuff. And yet, what does Jesus say in verse 19? Again, we've just jumped into the context. We're focusing on the message. Those whom I love, guess what? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. In spite of all my failures and all my shortcomings, Jesus loves each one of us. And for this church that was on the verge of being spit out of Jesus' mouth, he said, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. The reality is, anybody is capable of repentance. Anybody is capable of being zealous again. Anybody is capable of returning to Jesus Christ. I understand sometimes people make decisions that put them in such a place spiritually that it's very, very difficult to come back. But the hard reality is that if anyone is willing to repent, Jesus says, they can be forgiven. It's a willing, sometimes we got to reach out and help others when we're struggling or others are struggling. But anyone is capable. That's what he's saying here. And this church, again, they're about to be spit out of Jesus' mouth. Now notice what he says to this church that is in such terrible condition spiritually. In verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. He's not talking about alien sinners over here. People who are not Christians. That's how they're saying. He's talking about fallen Christians. But look at the promise to the one who is willing to be zealous and repent. Jesus is offering to come and dine with those individuals. And then he says in verse 21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. It's unbelievable. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? If you look at that text and you think, what a turnaround. What a turnaround. From the verge of being spit out of Jesus' mouth to dining with him and reigning with him on God's glorious throne. That's got to get your attention. That has to get your attention. You can overcome. I can overcome. Sometimes we think it's impossible. It's not impossible. That's one of the devil's lies. All things are possible if we put our trust in God, our faith in him. And so it's a reminder to me, brethren, I'll make some summary comments and then we'll bring the lesson to a close. But here are some life-changing truths for us to realize that there is no difficulty, no trial, no burden or fear that we cannot overcome. I think what we need to do is change our language. We so often talk about our problems. What we need to do is understand that these are challenges. So when you ask a brother or sister, how are you dealing with your challenges? It just changes the whole discussion. Instead of saying, What things are you struggling with? What problems are you dealing with? We can say things like, what challenges are you seeking to overcome? Because we're all in the state of overcoming something. Every single one of us. And so here's just a few other thoughts. Certainly, you look at the messages to these churches of Asia. They're all encouraged and challenged to overcome and to be victorious over whatever they struggle with. And then the reward is unspeakable comfort, eternal honor, being stamped with God's own identity in heaven. But consider these truths as well in terms of motivation. And maybe if we need more strength to conquer. Again, if we think about needing more power to deal with difficulties, understand that God loves you with an everlasting love. One of the song that Gil led for us this evening, I think before the lesson, the love of God is so vast, so deep. Understanding how much God loves you, that's what was driving the Apostle Paul. Read Romans chapter 8. There's nothing that could separate him from God's love and nothing that could separate God's love from him. And we sometimes say that if you don't know how much God loves you, I'm speaking to everyone this evening, even Christians, if you don't know how much he loves you, before you do anything else, before you watch another TV program, go to work, or do your exercises, or check your investment online, you need to know how much God loves you. That will motivate you to overcome whatever you're struggling with, whatever I'm struggling with. So if we need strength to conquer, God loves us with an eternal love. He gives us the promise of his presence as long as life lasts. So in addition to the reward, I understand sometimes we lose focus on the reward and we see the glory of it and we can still fall short. But understand that God promises to give us his presence as long as this life lasts. No matter where we go, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the ages." God promises to be with you as long as your life lasts. In addition to that, he not only promises to be with us, but he assures us that he lives inside of us. You need power to persevere and overcome. Realize that God is in you. We've been studying it in the book of Colossians. Christ in you. And as God raised Jesus' physical body from the dead, he raises us to a new life. He gives us eternal life and a final resurrection, but he gives us spiritual life, a life of vitality and abundance right now. So that's the promise that God gives each one of us. That's where our strength comes from. That's where my strength comes from. My personality, being kind of quiet, somewhat timid, and my earthly nature is such that I wouldn't be a preacher of the gospel. But I do it because God's in me. He compels me to do that. He does that for each one of us. That God takes up residence in your body. And I know this discussion, people in the religious world think, oh, that means it's a miraculous thing. That's not the case. But don't forget the hard reality. God dwells inside of you. If you're a Christian, he is in you. And that gives you strength to motor through whatever difficulties you or I may face. And then, again, it's a reminder that kingdom citizens are conquerors. But it's a choice. We either resist the devil or we give in to him. We resist his lies or we swallow his lies. But it's all choice. But God has done everything possible to make us victorious. But the choice is ours. Hope that the lesson will be an encouragement to you. If you're here this evening and you have struggled in your life and you need help, we're here, as Jeremy mentioned this morning, to pray with you and for you. We all need encouragement from time to time. If you're here this evening and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, then that's the most important thing that anyone can possibly do. If there's anyone here subject to the invitation, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing this song.